About to watch a video of Brother Keith Moore. I don't know if my mic's. Can you hear me through this? Brother Keith Moore, and he's talking on a message within a week of increase is what it's called. And he's talking about honor, but he's talking about how it has to do with our finances. And one thing that I think that really it's interesting is that really our finances have to do with stewardship. It's stewardship. And you know, God's plans for you. How many of you know that God's plans for you are good? Did you know that it's God's will that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of him? It's God's plan. It's God's will. But how many of you know that we can walk in a perfect will, the perfect will of God, or we can get to the end and hear, well, you're done, or we can hear, well done. How many of you know that's true? And so there's a path that's laid out before us. And you remember, what's his name? Paul. Paul, he talks about how he finished his race, right? Remember that? So if he's talking about how he finished his race, there he could have not finished his race. And I believe God wants us to finish our race. And part of us finishing our race has everything to do with stewardship. We know that, and there's one of the lines he says in here I think is just so awesome. He talks about how salvation, the finished work of Jesus is the finished work of Jesus. But you being, you know, following and honoring what he's speaking to you is all about stewardship and allowing him to entrust you with more. You know what I'm talking about? Like, remember the parable of the talents? Giving him two. How many of you know his plan was to make him ruler, not just over four, listen, but ruler over much. And when we understand that heaven is not just a place with flowing streams and green grass, okay, where we just sit, lay in a hammock all day, but the Bible tells us that we're going to rule and reign, and he tells us that there's going to be people that are over things. David's going to rule over this, and you know, I'll just tell you, we have to have a different perspective of eternity than babies with wings and mimosas. Okay, non-alcoholic, right? Or daiquiris, or you know, margaritas, whatever, you know, like, you know, those. How many of you have ever had one of those strawberry daiquiri with the pina colada? What, you know what I'm talking about? When we were on our honeymoon, we had these all the time, all right? We had non-alcoholic, okay, I know, pina colada and strawberry daiquiri, non-alcoholic, and they call the Miami Vice, I think, or whatever. I don't know what they're called. But all I know is they were good. And we were at a beach, and that's not heaven, y'all. Anyway. So anyway, this is just right at an hour and 3 minutes long. And then also, you're going to hear a story at the end about honor and what, you know, just the power of honor. And Chip, Miss Billy Brim, which is the mom of Chip Brim, which is going to be with us in 2 weeks. And he talks about just something that opened the door for that. I don't know what Brother Chip's going to be ministering on, but it's going to be good. So y'all want to be here for that. He'll coach you up. Amen. All right. So take a gander.
First Samuel 2:30. Just the last part of the verse says, the Lord said, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me, the Lord says, shall be lightly esteemed. Read that out loud with me, please. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Basically, you and I are going to be treated the way we treat him. Us and our things are going to be treated and handled the way we handle and treat him and his things. And that is fair, isn't it? He is fair and just. Now, some folks, bless their hearts, they're confused about some things. And they say, well, yeah, but no, that ain't right, Brother Keith. That's works. You know, what we receive got nothing to do with what we do. It's all because of what Jesus did. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm not talking about being righteous with God. I'm not talking about being accepted of Him. We're talking about stewardship. What you get to handle of His holy things. And people have mixed all this up together. Selah. People have mixed all this up together. No, when it comes to being born again, that's all Him. Right? That's all Him. When it comes to us being accepted before God, that's all based on what He's done. But there's more to this life and walk than being saved and acceptable in His sight. He is our Father, God, and He's training us to rule and reign with Him throughout the ages. And we are right now qualifying. Everybody say qualifying.
Qualifying.
We are qualifying. The Bible talks much. Jesus talked a lot about. The Spirit of God through Paul talked a lot about reward.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot about reward. And it is not, God's kingdom is not socialist. It is not everybody gets the same. It's not. That wouldn't be fair. If you laid around and goofed off your whole life and didn't even try, and this other guy worked real hard and gave God his all, and y'all get the same, that ain't fair. It's not about being saved. Is everybody listening?
Yes.
We're not talking about being saved. We're talking about stewardship. The handling of God's holy things. And the way He does it is that if you're faithful with the little, you get to handle more. Hallelujah. If you show honor and respect with the little, you, and the word honor, like we talked about last night, the word honor, it means to be heavy. It means to make weighty. Heavy and weighty. And these terms have to do with value and worth. You see, the word, the same word translated to honor is translated glory. And it has to do with God's worth. His things are worth more than any other things.
Amen.
Are they?
Yes.
His, the blood of the Lamb is precious. Anybody remember? Precious. His holy word is precious. When I say precious, I don't mean some goofy religious term that somebody uses, oh, that's precious. No. No. Precious means extremely expensive. Very, very valuable. The Bible said we could not be bought with silver and gold. There's not enough silver and gold. How much? The psalmist talks about the price of a soul. It ceases forever. There's not enough gold and platinum on this planet to buy one soul.
That's right.
But there was one thing. One thing. And only one thing that was valuable enough to purchase not just one, but all. Oh, how valuable is the blood of the Lamb? We really don't know. But we can be thankful, can't we? And we can honor it. It should bother you when you hear people slighting the things of God and blaspheming God and His things and treating them with contempt. It should bother you. Don't get calloused to it. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but several practical ways that you show honor. And one of them is how you talk about things or how you refer to them. And that's with people. I know some people, God, His things, how you talk about it, how you refer to them. Some years ago, I was out in ministry, and a fellow came by. He was a fellow Rhema grad from years back. And he said, hey, Brother Keith, how things are going? He said, how's the old man? I felt almost like he slapped me. The old man? He's talking about Brother Hagin. How's the old man? That's not good. That's not good. Now, me telling you that way, you obviously are agreeing with it, but why didn't he see that that's not good? We don't go for formality. I'm telling you how he thinks. We don't go for all that formality. We're just loose and friends and too loose. Are you listening? Too loose. Nothing's important. Nothing's sacred. Nothing's holy. Everything's fine if you do, fine if you don't. Whatever. No big deal. These are the words of despising.
That's good.
This is despising. Despising can be as simple as ignoring something that's important. No, you don't refer to your father in the faith as the old man. You don't refer to your wife, who's a daughter of God and an amazing gift in your life, as your old lady. Come on, are y'all with me now? We live in a rude, crude, dishonoring world, but we're not of this world.
Amen.
Oh, come on, come on. We're not of it. We're of another make. Thank you, Lord. And if you have gone very far with God, I'm not a crybaby. That's maybe not the right term. I don't cry a whole lot for every reason. I grew up amongst men that didn't do that. And if they did start to cry, it was usually an expletive and go, let's do something, you know. And so, but there's something that will cause me to tear up every time, and it's when you touch the honor of God. Because you're touching the inside of God. You're touching His essence, what He is. And it'll change you. It'll sweep through you and over you and change you. He is perfection. He is truth. He is honor. He is faithful.
Yes.
Come on, are you with me?
Yes.
Beyond description, He is so good. And all of that has to do with His weight of value of worth. And it's good to shout and be happy and have fun, but there are times when it'd be inappropriate to cackle when something holy and serious is happening. Are y'all with me? We need to know what's happening, which way the Spirit of God is moving. If we yield to Him, there'll be times when we'll be quiet and reverent and not scared and not formal. That's not what we're talking about at all. And then there'll be times when you'd fall on your face and weep. Come on, are y'all with me? Remember the Lord said, you see what kind of people I chose? Expressive souls. When the Spirit of God moves on you, you're not supposed to stifle and try to resist. If it's time to cry, it's time to cry. Cry. It's time to run, it's time to run. Don't sit and look at everybody else. Break loose. Hit her, boy. If it's time to shout, it's time to shout. But if it's time to be still and know He is God, and look by faith at His awesomeness, then show respect and not do something goofy.
Right.
When it's time to do that. Do we need to discern which way the Spirit's manifesting? Mark 4, if you'd go there, please. The Lord said, them that honor me, I will honor. Boy, this has multiplied in me so much, even since last night. But exactly what needs to come out in these days, we will have. You're in agreement with me, right? Mark 4:23, Jesus said, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Then that means you can hear the things of God and yet not hear them. What would determine who hears it? Keep reading. He said to them, and he said to them, take heed what you hear. Luke says, take heed how you hear. What is he talking about? With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. He's still talking about hearing. How do you have ears to hear? What does it mean, how you meet? Well, it's the same word for measure. It's how you measure up what you're hearing. Is it important? Is it unimportant? Is it a big deal? Is it no big deal? How you determine, how you measure up what's happening, what you're hearing, what you're seeing, determines what you hear as far as revelation is concerned and what we receive. Despising would sound like this. Oh, have you been listening to the word? Yeah, all the time. Can't tell it's doing any good. Are you a tither, you're a giver? Yeah, but I ain't no better off. And people think that proves it doesn't work. Well, I tried that, and it didn't work. Wrong. It tried you, and you failed. The psalmist said, until Joseph's word came, the word of the Lord tried him. This is all by faith. Oh, is everybody awake?
Yes.
You don't have to feel one ebb of excitement to say, I heard the word of God and it came into me and it is working powerfully in me right now. Why? Not making much of a man or a woman or a preacher, making much of the word of God. Oh, come on, somebody say yes.
Yes,
what? Yes, this is important. I was talking with some fellow ministers last night. I've had privilege to have fellowship with some of the greatest men and women of God in our generation already. And every one of them, at some time or other, had said some of the same things I thought. After they ministered with an amazing service, they said, man, you just always feel like you could have done better. You know? I've heard people say after, outstanding, that was that all right? You know? The enemy does the same thing to all of us. He'll come and say, that was pretty shoddy. I mean, that was just, you know. And if you walk by sight and feelings, then you're always looking for a response.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, boy, they didn't seem to be too excited about that. I mean, and the enemy say that's because it wasn't any good. And if you're not smart, you go, well, I guess so. It wasn't very good. And how did I learn these things?
Yeah, that's right.
But I stopped this. some years ago. And there's been times I hadn't felt too good about how it went. But that's when I speak and say, the word of the Lord does not return void. Oh, come on, are you listening? It does not return void. I mean, if I was up there just reading newspaper or doing something goofy, that's one thing. But I read the Word of God. I preached it and taught it with the faith that I had. Something happened. Something happened. See, we're talking about eternal seed. You won't see some of the effects of the seed of the Word of God till the next generation. You have no idea what just happened. You have no idea. But God expects us to do it in faith. Well, if you minister it in faith, you can receive it in faith. Even if you weren't all that excited about the service. Did some word go forth? If it did, you need to say, by faith I receive that. That has come into me. It is changing my life. And the measure you meet to it will be the measure you receive from it.
Yeah, that's good.
That's another way of saying, if you honor Him, He's going to honor you. Oh, come on, dear. Are you with me on this? Oh, somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
The devil is the despiser. Turn with me over to Mark 7 while I'm talking about this. Mark 7. The devil is the despiser. He is the belittler. He's always trying to diminish things. Why? He's the mocker. He's the blasphemer. Oh, that's nothing. That means nothing. And that's why people talk the way they do. Oh, I'm not important. Oh, I don't know much. Oh, I hadn't done anything. That's not humility. I said, that's not humility. If the Lord gave it to you and you belittle it, just because it came through you doesn't mean it's any less Him. And you're belittling something He said and did because it came through you as a vessel. Paul said, I magnify mine office.
Yes.
Is he making a big deal out of himself? No. He didn't call himself. He didn't anoint himself. It sounds like pride to some folks, but it's a revelation. Our folks have heard me say, you are receiving some of the best ministry on the planet.
Amen.
God is giving us some of the best word and revelation and manifestation of God on the planet, anywhere. And so, well, you sure think a lot of yourself. It doesn't have to do with that. That's not. See, that's a misunderstanding. If He's given it to us, I'm not thinking it up. Phyllis or Dave or whoever, we're not inventing it, fabricating it. And if He did give it to us, what's the key to us getting more? Somebody got it right then. If He did give it to us, if it's Him, if I make light of it, we need to distinguish between the cup and what's in the cup. You know, our country has experienced some turmoil because of racism recently. And Phyllis got two little dogs. She's got a white dog and a black dog. And they are great little dogs. But I don't think the white one knows he's white. And I don't think the black one knows she's black. And we were sitting on the porch the other day, and they were sitting beside me. And I looked down, I thought, black and white. And I told Phyllis, I said, and that's all the difference it is between us. People say, oh, there's a difference between black and white. No, culture. Skin color is zero difference. It don't make any difference than hair color or eye color. Everything else is learned behavior.
Come on now. That's good.
Not of his junk. But you got people all messed up. I don't drink from white cups. You want to say, well, stay thirsty then. I don't drink from black cups. The cup is just the container.
Come on now. Breathe.
Come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
God's got all kinds of different color cups. That's not the thing. Paul talked about that. He said, Apollos and me, who are we? We just vessels that you receive through. It's God that gives the increase. It's not the cup, it's what's in the cup. And I know y'all all agree with this, but this goes further than race. It's all kind of, you know, I don't receive through Methodist cups. I only receive through Baptist cups. Come on, y'all with me? This is ignorance. Because God does it on purpose. Is everybody listening? He will take what you need and put it in a cup you don't like. He will do it. I've seen him do it over and over again. Why? Because you need to get free. You need to. But the sad thing is many people are just doing without. They'd rather do without. Sad. They're deceived. How'd we get into all that? Well, it's true, isn't it? You want to know God well enough that you recognize Him regardless of the vessel He's coming through. There's been more than once in my life. Sometimes it's been out of the country. Sometimes it's been in... the Lord's allowed us to minister in different groups. Several years ago, we were up in the Northeast in a church, great big stone cathedral and stained glass. We were the first guest minister outside of their denomination in 50-some years. And it was quite different. But Phyllis and I made the commitment in our kitchen back years ago when we were going to Ramah. I saw some of this. We got down on the floor and we said, Lord, we are not going to pick and choose. We want you to be able to use us in more than just one or two little circles. And in order to do that, how many understand, it's hard to minister to people you talked about. Especially when they heard it. Don't make fun of other denominations. Just stop it. I don't care if you grew up in it. If they're walking in all the light they have, that's as good as you can do. And you got a full-time job walking in the light that you have, buddy boy. Sister girl. Oh, hallelujah. God loves us so much. And He wants this love to come through us to other people. But I say, and there have been times I've been out of the country and in other groups and other denominations, and the Spirit of God began to speak or do something, and I would think, you know, that's not how we do it. That's not. And then I'd close my eyes and I'd think, That's the Holy Ghost. Then I open, look at them and go, really? And I just have to close my eyes. Do you want to be spiritual enough that you recognize him no matter who he's coming through and how? And if we do, we will get the rich diversity. Oh, hallelujah. God is big. He has so much. And he manifests different parts of himself through different groups.
Yeah, that's good. Amen. That's right.
It doesn't make it better. It's just a different part.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, but when you put it all together, it is marvelous. So rich. Don't deny yourself. Don't deprive yourself of the richness of God. You don't have to pick.
Amen.
Huh? Go to 1 Corinthians 3. Like I didn't have enough notes here tonight. I'm talking about this, but you prayed with me. We're being led, right? First Corinthians 3 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 3:21. He said, therefore, let no man glory in men. We're still talking about the same thing. Glory, honor. For all things are yours. Come on, say it out loud. All things are yours. Keep reading. Now, what things is he talking about? He's talking specifically about ministry and people. Because if you read earlier in the verse, in the chapter, there was division. Back up to the third verse, he said, you're carnal. Sometimes you just need to say it plain. What's my problem, Brother Kid? You're carnal. For whereas there is envy and strife and divisions, so what's wrong with the problems in our country? Carnal people. A lot of them unsaved. Don't even know God. Just because you go to church don't mean you know God. And you walk like men, talking about mere unsaved men. Verse 4. Why? One of them saying, I'm a Paul. We are of the Pauline persuasion. We are of Apollos. He was a great teacher. Are you not carnal? And if you read other passages, he talked about Peter. One group said, we're not of any of them. We're just Jesus only. Jesusites. Oh, that sounds super spiritual, but it ain't. Paul's group. We don't want to just identify with one group. Word of faith. Faith people. We are. But do you want that to be the only thing you know anything about? Oh, did I lose somebody? Do you have to pick? Let me help you out with this. Faith or grace? Let me tell you the answer. Yes. Yes. You a grace person? Yes. You a faith person? Yes. Healing person? Yes. Gifts of the Spirit? Yes. Yes.
That's right.
Well, no, which one are you? Yes.
Yes.
And I got my scripture right here. Is that right? All things. Oh, come on, help me out. All things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present, things to come. Say it again. All things. I don't have to pick.
Amen. Thank God.
I don't have to pick. Mom Hagen used to make fun of me because when we go out to eat, I'd get too many things. What are you going to have to drink? I'd mostly say yes. Took some lemonade and some tea and coffee. And you don't need all that. Ain't about need. All things. Oh, somebody say all things. All things. All things. You see the Spirit of God moving on here? You may not even speak their language. Never saw them before, but you go, that's mine. That's mine. I got some. I'm taking some of that. Is that right? See, people over here, they may be a 500-year-old group that you thought was dried up, and then you see the Spirit of God moving on, you go, oh, I got me some of that too. Is that right? Yeah. Come on, somebody say, it's all mine. It's all mine. I don't have to pick and choose. It's all mine. Oh, yeah, I want me some Baptist revelation. I want some Presbyterian revelation. I want some Catholic revelation. Come on, are y'all with me? I want it all. I want it all. You got too many drinks, brother. No, I don't. Make the table bigger. Angels, you got too many drinks. Table's too little. God is a net breaking, ship sinking, cup running over. Come on, is that right? Too much Jesus. It thrills him. He would know to the last micro dot how much to put in the glass, but he keeps pouring.
Oh yeah,
he just keeps on pouring. And you go, God, it's a spilling over. He goes, yeah, ain't it great? God, it's running off on the table. He goes, it's wonderful, ain't it?
Glory.
Somebody say, Lord, help me renew my mind. Help me to think right. Get delivered from this little stingy, tight stuff. Oh, hallelujah. All things are mine. I don't have to pick and choose. Whew. The enemy is the despiser. You remember that?
Yes.
Thought I forgot where I was. I did. And the Holy Spirit reminded me. But if you don't say that, you just stay smooth and cool, you know. But the devil is the despiser. And he is, because he genuinely hates God and he hates us and he hates all these things. But it's more than that. There's strategy involved.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
And the Lord gave me this phrase. If you diminish the place of something, then you weaken its power. If the enemy can get you to belittle something, then its power and effect in your life is taken away, because the measure of power and result is tied directly to your measure of honor and respect that you give it. So if you treat it like nothing, that's what you'll get out of it, is nothing. And this is why the enemy is continuously trying to get us to belittle, downplay, despise, diminish. We need to make a big deal out of everything God does. Oh, somebody say, make a big deal. Make a big deal. Make a big deal. Little things matter. I mentioned that Corvette earlier. There's a story that goes with that. I always enjoyed sports cars. I always wanted a Corvette. And several years after Phyllis and I married, we got one and went in debt for it, and the payment was high and the insurance was high. And the Lord began to talk to me about putting him first and tithing and giving properly. And I realized I've already made commitments that's cutting into my giving. Yes. How many say you need to make the choice to put God first before you sign a dotted line? You understand what I'm talking about? So I committed myself, and I realized I had a brand new Corvette. I think it was a month or two old, maybe three. And the Lord dealt with me Son, I don't care if you have five of these. But your priority has to be right. You have to put me first. And right now, that's not what you're doing. So I sold it at a big loss. And I rode with Phyllis for a year and a half. She was kind enough to let me ride along. And it was good for me. I learned some things. But at the end of that time, we bought a used Corvette, that yellow one, and it was right. Our priorities were right. We were tithing. We were giving. We were sowing to ministries like we'd had on our heart, and this was not out of its place. And thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You still in Mark 7 there? Go back to Mark 7 there. Because of that, we were obviously very thankful and enjoying it. Thank you, Lord. I need to do something different. Excuse me. I asked the Lord to arrest me if he wants to adjust me. I've asked him to many times. And so that's just what we need to do then. I may come back to that. I may not. Matthew 6, do it like this. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Time is very precious. Matthew 6. Let's back up. Several people were not with us last night. We went over to Genesis last night, and we looked at Cain and Abel, and we saw that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. That's all it said about it, and the Lord did not, the Scripture said he did not respect Cain's offering. Everybody hear that? That's the word. King James says he did not respect Cain's offering. But he did have respect unto Abel's offering. Abel brought Fluffy. The best he had. The first fruits, the fat, the best he had. And the Lord told Cain, basically, I don't accept your offering. And in a short amount of time, he sunk into a depressed rage. Now, there's only a few people on the planet. And over the course of a short amount of time, this kept working in him until one day he went out to talk to his brother Abel, probably about this. And as they got into the conversation, he wound up killing him. How does that happen? Over an offering, you kill your baby brother. What did he do to you? It's so bad. I'd mentioned to you that when Phyllis and I first found out about prosperity and God's will being abundance and sowing and reaping, we're so thrilled, still are. And begin to sow seed and begin to believe God, begin to get a few things and come out of debt and lack and that kind of thing. But immediately almost you ran into people who were just violently opposed to the so-called prosperity gospel. Have you bumped into any of them? I mean, just think a preacher with a big house, much less an airplane, be about as low as you can go. Right? But me believing something different than you do does not make me a crook.
That's right.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That airplane, we didn't receive money for orphanages and buy an airplane with it. People gave money for the airplane. If we'd have spent it on orphanages, it would have been illegal and dishonest. Y'all with me? We're going to get into some things before this is over with. Are you ready? We're clearing out some underbrush. Y'all with me? We getting ready to lay the big tree. Is this an issue? Not just among the world, but fellow Christians, church people, is that right? Ministers, oh man, you want to see people get bent out of shape? You start talking about prosperity and God in the same sentence. And oh man. And invariably, people are going to bring up the poor. The poor. You got your place? Where are you in your place, sir?
Matthew 6.
Yeah. That's just right. Verse 21. The scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is that a truth? The New Living says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Today's English version says, for your heart will always be where your riches are. I was confounded as to why people were so intensely angry about talking about God blessing you with a car or a house or these kind of things, or sowing big offerings. And why? It's not their money. What do they care? They don't even go to church there. Some of them don't even believe in God. Why would you care? Why would you care? But we see the same spirit moved Cain to become murderous against his own brother over this same thing. Why? A big offering. Abel gave a big offering. It was big to him. Cain just brought an offering. And God didn't accept it. Let me give you a little taste of this. Phyllis and I are pastors. We got wonderful people come to the church here. And we don't look at what people give. I don't know what people give. Don't want to. But if we did, you've been going here for X amount of time, and I come to you and I say, this is your offering right here. Yeah. We don't accept it. It's not good. Ooh. You should see some of the looks I just got across the crowd. Like, why is that so terrible? That's exactly what God did. Why is that so awful? Well, it's not nice. Tell God that. That's what he did. You going to tell him it's not nice? Much of the church has been conformed to the world's way of thinking about these things.
That's right. Amen.
You just treat everybody like it's wonderful. Whatever you're doing is wonderful. If you're not doing, it's wonderful. You know? I know you're a millionaire, but you put $3 in. Bless your heart. Good. Actually, it ain't good. Why didn't the Lord respect nor accept Cain's offering? Because Cain didn't respect it himself. Everybody listening? This has nothing to do with money. There was no U.S. dollars. Genesis 3. There was no currency at all. There was no credit cards or paper or coins. This has nothing to do with money. Tithing is not about money. It's not about money. People have made it about money. Oh, they're just trying to get my money. Well, if they really are, leave. But don't sit around and gripe. Find somewhere that's honest. And get in there and tithe. And give. Well, I can't find anybody. Excuses.
Oh, my God.
It ain't that you can't find anybody. It's that you don't want to. You will always, if that's in your mind, you will always find some reason why they don't qualify.
Oh my.
But the bottom line is you always wind up not doing anything.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's not okay.
That's wrong.
Cain killed Abel for the same reason they killed Jesus. You might say, what? Yeah. Same reason. The Lord said, he said, they hate me. In John, he said, they hate me because I testify of them that their works are evil. That's why Cain got so mad, is because God told him his offering was not good. Abel's was good, and his was not good. And it had nothing to do with amount.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
It had to do with the heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And Abel did the best he knew how to do. And come on now. When he brought Fluffy to God, God didn't go, oh, wow, it's a sheep. I've been wanting me a sheep. Come on, are y'all with me? Look at that. It's a sheep. He created sheep. Cattle on a thousand hills is his. You know, he said in the Psalms, he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. If he wanted a sheep, he'd just get him a sheep or a million sheep. So it's not, oh wow, it's a sheep. The value of the seed, the offering in these kind of things, is determined by its value to the giver. By its value to the giver. Why didn't God accept Cain's offering? Why didn't he respect it? Because Cain himself didn't respect it. Didn't have to do. People tried to make it all kind of stuff. But it's about honor. Tithing's not about money. It's about acknowledging who your source is.
That's right. Yes.
It's about bringing the first part and the best with tithes and first fruits and offerings and saying, God, I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for you. I wouldn't be alive. Wouldn't have had health and strength to do anything. Wouldn't have had any opportunities. No matter how hard I worked or what deal I tried to do, it wouldn't have come together. It wouldn't have worked. You have blessed me. And so I gladly bring the tithe to you and offerings to you.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Knowing there's a lot more where this came from. And if that's your heart, you're not just going through a routine, but if that's your heart, not only have you honored him, what comes after you honoring him? Come on, come on, come on. It allows him access. The act of honor allows access. Anybody remember Malachi 3?
Yes.
Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, prove me now herewith. If I want to open the windows, that's open. That's access. Open the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings there won't be room enough to receive, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Do you want God in your business? This is how it works. It's not about earning it. It's not about works. It's about honor. It's about the heart. In 1 Chronicles 21, you don't have to turn there, but put it up on the screen. 1 Chronicles 21 and 21. A judgment in this passage is coming on Israel. David has made some mistakes, and others have too. And the Lord showed him what to do and that he needed to present an offering a certain way. And David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David, and he went out of the threshing floor. This is Ornan's property and place of business. And he bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, and let's just stop right here. What did Ornan do?
Showed respect.
Showed respect. Respect. Another part of respect has to do with place. Acknowledging the place God has given people. You may not be able to respect everything a person in a place does and says, but you must respect the place, or you disrespect God who put them in the place. And if you think they don't deserve it, he put them in, he can take them out. But don't touch God's anointing. David knew this, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Where Saul was a demon-possessed man at that point in his life. David said, I won't touch him.
Yeah.
Called him God's anointed.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking and acting like God's anointed. But if God ever chose somebody and ever used them and ever anointed them, that should be big in your eyes.
Yes.
No matter what's going on right now, you remember God picked them. He picked them. He used them. He chose them. Show respect. Somebody say, show respect. Show respect. So he did, and David said to Ornan, he said, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein to the Lord, and you grant it me for full price. This is no negotiation. Would you please sell it to me? I want to pay you full price for this piece of land and this stuff right here, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Ornan said to David, take it to you. Let my lord the king do what's good in his eyes. Lo, I give you the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing instruments for wood, the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. I'm giving it to you. Everybody say respect, respect, respect. Respect. And you might say, well, great, this just saved us thousands of dollars here, man. I mean, this is the Lord. Should not receive all offerings. Verse 24. King David said to Ornan, no. Everybody say no.
No.
But I will verily buy it for the full price. Why? For I will not take that which is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. Another place that said, which cost me nothing. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. He paid top dollar and then some, I guess. Why? Because he knew. David knew God. And anybody that knows God is honor. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's his nature. That's his character. And he knew this. inside. If it doesn't mean anything to me, it don't cost me anything. It won't mean anything when I give it to him. Come on, can you see this? God's not going to say, oh, I've always been wanting a threshing floor and some oxen. You can't impress God with a big check. And he's not going to despise a little check. It's not about the amount. It's not, come on, somebody say, it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's never been about the money. People have made it about the money, but it ain't about the money. Tell me what it's about. What is it about? It's about the heart. And if it doesn't mean anything to you, it doesn't mean anything to him. I don't care if it's a $5 million check.
Amen.
And on the other end, if it's two mites. Is that right? Less than 2 cents. The Lord thought enough about it. He got up, publicly announced it. Is that right?
Yes,
talked about it, had it recorded for generations to come. Certainly wasn't about the amount. What made it precious? The value of the gift to God is determined by its value to the giver. Why didn't God respect Cain's offering? Because Cain didn't respect it. Didn't mean anything to him. And religion has watered down offerings to the point of routine plunking in many, many places. Right? Pass the bucket, play the song, plunk, plunk. We need to stop it. Right? No. It's not about doing some big thing. It's just about what's important to you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Thanks be to God. Oh, somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. This is so big. I know I seem like I'm stumbling around a little bit, but it's so big. Yes. Yeah. Hand her a mic, Brother Dave.
I heard last night that you're trying this with honor.
Yes.
I know about those Hebrew words and what they mean. And my son Chip lives in the Tulsa area. He lives in Skytook and is a associate pastor at our church there in Collinsville. And he and I both, because of something that happened in our family, and we just have a burden for young people. And Chip came out of the sports world, and he has a real rapport with young people, young men, young women. And we know that the enemy is getting too many of them. And so the Lord has been dealing with Chip so strongly about honor and teaching the younger generation honor. And the Lord said to Chip, they don't have it really. Respect and honor have been lost to a great degree. And he showed him how in generations previous, my generation, Brother Hagin's generation, how much honor meant to them. So he's talked to me about it, you know, and because we're kind of in this together, we did a BVOV with Gloria, and I had Chip come on about this generation. And so last week, he was driving in the Tulsa area, and he had his radio on 97.1, which is a sports station. He's real sports-minded. He came out of the sports world. And that station tells what's happening with Oklahoma University, what's happened here and there. And suddenly, while he's listening, it goes, squawk, squawk. And out from the radio comes Brother Hagin's voice. And Brother Hagin's voice, He says, I'm teaching today on honor. Chip said the cab of that pickup filled with God, and he had to pull over to the station there, one of those quick trips or whatever they have. He said, I couldn't drive. I had to pull over there, and Brother Hagin taught on honor. It may have been his radio program that day. We don't know. I'm going to check with David Ingalls. But Chip said, I listened to all the teaching on honor, and then the radio went squawk, squawk, and it went back to the 97.1.
Wow.
The numbers never changed. He said, I looked at the radio, it never changed. Huh. It was always 97.1, but what it projected and broadcast changed.
Praise God.
Anyway, hallelujah. That was actually last year when we were hunting. Me and Chip were talking about that. That happened just when, anyway, I was over in Oklahoma hunting with him, and we were just talking about how the Lord had really been talking to us about honor, and you're coming into this year and how it opens the door. And, you know, God's about after our heart, you know. And anyway, and I know, you know, that this whole message, you know, you're saying, what does this have to do with finances? Well, this has everything to do with finances. Because if you continue to read in Matthew chapter 6, he started in verse 21, he said, where your treasure is, your heart will always be. But if you finish that up and you go into Matthew 6:33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. There's one that makes rich. The Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow to us. And so, you know, I've heard it said before, it's not a money problem. It's a money management problem. Either we're spending or we're not. There's assignment on every dollar. And so if we're eating our seed, that's a problem. And so, or, you know, or if we're squandering our seed, that's a problem. But every dollar that I have, you know, so this is stewardship. So if I start out with 2 talents and I'm faithful with that, well, then I'm given more. And the more faithful I am, the more I make ruler over. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord is what maketh rich. The blessing. You can do it on yourself, and you can do it on your toil, and you can do it however you want to do it. But this is God's way. And so what did he say? God's way is that he said, if you honor me, he said, I'll honor you. And anyway, so I just, you know, this is right on the money for, you know, finances and how to deal with finances. And just say, you know, I guess to me at the end of this, you know, we're closing here, we're going to pray. But this is what we always ask the Lord, you know, Evan and myself, is like, what is this what you want us to give? Is this it? Is this what, you know? And then I remember last year in the fall, we made some major adjustments, you know. And things like that, and we're like, we just got to get back even more to the, you know, and up it, you know. And so as we sat into coming into this year, and that's just what we did. But we have to always ask ourselves, Lord, is this precious to me, or am I just doing what I've always done? Or, you know, in seasons change. Don't get me wrong. I don't even just like we, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the year. If you don't know what's coming out of your account, that's silly, because it doesn't matter to you. Obviously, it doesn't matter. You know, so it should be precious, and we even got to the point where now we're writing and dropping and nothing in the offering in the envelope because it's done online, but we're just saying, you know what, we're going to honor the Lord. You know, I know it might sound so that's just what the Lord has talked to us about. So, you know, so that's just precious to us. Amen? Amen. We'll just pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you so much. You're so good, and you're faithful, and we just say you're King of our hearts. We give you first place tonight. We thank you for just your word to us. We thank you. It is valuable, Lord. We thank you that when you bring us your word, not only does your word come, but your word and the will to do your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the grace is there with your word. And we thank you for it. We thank you that we did not leave this place the same way that we came, but we thank you for it. And we thank you even now, right now, that the devourer is rebuked. Just say that with me. Say, the devourer, you're rebuked. Off my family, off my finances, off my time, off of everything that my hand touches, because God's first. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We'll see you on Sunday for More Than a Fairy Tale, talking about honor.